If you have your Bibles, if you'd look for a moment at chapter 11 of Luke. It says in the 10th verse, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask of an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" That's not, I don't have to interpret that for you. He says, how much more will your Holy Father, who is good, give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And you know, we don't talk about, the Holy Spirit very much. We do, but not, it's God and Christ. But, there's three that bear record in heaven. Amen. God the Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we don't have the knowledge and the understanding of the Holy Spirit. I don't really understand it at all. But the Holy Spirit, we know what the Bible says. It says the Holy Spirit's the truth. It brings us the truth. Holy Spirit guides us. Jesus told the men that when they were going to go in and before the people, that not that take no thought for what you might say, because the Spirit will be, don't rehearse it. Now, as a minister, I'll tell you that I take a lot of thought for it, and I work on it all the time. But, it's amazing when the Spirit will give you what you need to talk about. When it says that God's Word will not come back to Him void. And I believe if the Holy Spirit is here this morning, if He's in this room and He gets a hold of brother here and says, I want you to say this, and if He says that, then that will not come. Somebody needs to hear it. It's a spiritual thing. I'm going to tell you, I needed to come to church this morning. I've been working and I've been to a couple of meetings, but that was in June. This is July. I need to be with some Christian people. I need to have fellowship with like-minded people. I need to be a place where I'm just pretty sure the Holy Spirit's going to be there. I'm so glad that I'm here, and I'm glad that you're here. So, did you come seeking the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe not. Sometimes I went to a meeting a couple of times, they started praying for the Holy Spirit on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And then, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit was there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and those nights too. So if we're coming, we should be praying for the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to me that if we look in the second chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, I don't have the mind of Christ in the sense that I know what's going to happen or what's going on or any of those things. But I do have the mind of Christ in the sense that I can discern spiritual things from physical things. I can discern the spiritual from the flesh. And that is given to us by God. He says we have that mind, the ability to understand what is spiritual and what is not. Now, in this world today, in this country, that has become totally upside down. So, what, you know, I like to, I'll be honest with you. I came here this morning and I'm fine with not having, you know, not preaching because, you know, I mean, I just walked in, who, you know, they're not, nobody wants to make any special, I'm nobody special, right? And you might already had plans or whatever it is. But, you know, a preacher, if he's got anything on his mind, always wants to preach, you know. I'll just be honest with you. Because you know why I want to preach? And I'm going to tell you, I think if any of you like to preach or feel like you like to preach, it's a great thing. Because if the Spirit of God is with you, if you feel the Spirit when preaching, I think I feel as much when preaching as anything, if I'm preaching, if the Lord's blessing me, it's the greatest thing you can feel. You feel spiritual. You're up, looking up. The minister is to, his job is to stir you up, remind you of the things, all the things of God. So, once in a while, I get to feel that spiritualness just flow through me like it's just an amazing thought. I wouldn't miss that for anything in the world. You know, it's great. And then you can feel that spiritual stuff, you know, all the time in different ways and different places. But there's nothing like, if you're a minister, feeling it when you're trying to preach the Word of God. I know you all agree with that. There's nothing worse than not feeling it. The Spirit of God is so amazing, though. I remember a few years ago, I got up to preach, and I had the Bible open to the subject I was going to preach on. Right there it was, right there in that book, and I could not read it, couldn't see it, couldn't understand it. I had to shut up and be quiet. Now, that was a Spirit also, by the way. Sometimes the Spirit chastises. Sometimes the Spirit wants us to know how powerful God is. He can shut a preacher's mouth. That's pretty powerful, really. So, to me, there's a, you know, I get goosebumps, kind of. I just have a tingling all over. I have it right now. You know, has the Lord ever gave you that feeling that here I am sitting in this church and the Spirit of God is here, Christ is here, He's with us, He's among us? Have you ever had that feeling? Have you ever had that experience going, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have missed this for anything in the world? It's a feeling you just can't describe. It brings tears to your eyes sometimes. You know, my first real experience with a great spiritual time was down in Kentucky, Covington, Kentucky. You know, I want the Lord to guide me. I want the Spirit to guide me. I wish He'd just talk to me like He talked to Noah. Noah, you know, do this and do that, but He doesn't. Does He? I'm trying to figure on this and figure on that. Is this of the Lord? Is that of the Lord? You know, and it's just, I'm constantly in a quagmire about what it is. And I'm going to tell you, it says the Spirit, you know, I hope you're looking for a place to rest this morning. A place of peace. We need rest from the world. We need rest from all these things. Here it is. If the Spirit's here, I'm going to tell you, and if you believe that you not only believe God's God, but you believe in what He says, you really believe it, I'm going to tell you what, just sit back and relax and rest and find joy in the morning. I was in Covington, Kentucky, you know, and I'm always wanting the Lord to guide me, and it was before I was ordained to be a minister, and so I just had this feeling. Have you ever had a feeling that you felt was from above? The Lord said, do this, do that. He said, go down to Kentucky with these men. He didn't shout it to me. He didn't say, hey, it was just something I felt that I needed to do, right? And it was a little hard. I had to do some things to get it done, and I went down there. And you know, sometimes the Spirit will kind of give you a little thought about, well, and I went in there and the brother said, well, you know, your grandfather was here 50 years ago today. That pretty well sewed it up for me. I believe I was supposed to go to Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? And so while I was there, you know, this little bitty church, and they have the left side for the women and the right side for the men, although they don't do that anymore, but they had the doors and the pews and they had sing out of books with no notes in it. I'm telling you, I called one. You can only sing three songs in 30 minutes. And I called one, and they couldn't start it, so I started it, and I got it going too fast, and we had to quit and start over. But it was a spiritual place.
Amen.
There was a man down there that said, I need to be baptized. Called the minister, said, I need to be baptized. Wouldn't you like to have this feeling? Wouldn't you like to have this feeling? I need to be baptized. And then you know what the man said? He says, this is 8 o'clock at night. He said, I need to be baptized. I said, well, we'll get you next Sunday, you know. He says, no, you don't understand. I need to be baptized right now. And you know what they did? They called as many people as they could. They went down in the creek at 9:30 at night and baptized that man.
Amen.
You know, if you've been putting off baptism, now's the time. So the preacher got up and was just preaching along, and I was sitting there, and I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of naive in a lot of ways. And this lady sitting on the other side, it's a little bitty church, started getting up and started screaming, Jesus! You know, and I go, oh my gosh, I said it too. It was the most, you know, the spiritual thing. It just scared me at first. You know, hope the Holy Spirit can scare you. Does it ever scare you to think that you can be that close to the most powerful, the God that is so powerful He can hold the mountains in His hands because the Spirit is in you, you're in Him, He's in you? Isn't that amazing that we have that God that's so powerful that can bring, come from heaven, from above, and give us that Spirit where we know it's of Him? Isn't that amazing? Don't you long for that? Don't you want to feel that? Don't you want to be where it's preached? So this lady kept shouting, and I'm going, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, some people think shouting's not so phony or phony or whatever it is. I'm going to tell you, from my standpoint, she wasn't phony in any way, shape, or form. She felt the Spirit of God, and she was letting everybody know about it. And you know, the preacher didn't miss a lick. Now that's a good preacher, I'm going to tell you. So I thought, wow, that's a great spiritual time. I really enjoyed that. I followed the Spirit. The Spirit guided me to go down there. I did what He told me to do. And you know, it says in Acts, and I can't quote it, but you know, if we're looking for the Holy Spirit, there's some righteousness and some things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to kind of do what He tells us to do if we're going to look for the Holy Spirit, right?
That's
right. So, a few years later, we were up at Pleasant Grove, Primitive Baptist Church, at Fishing River Association. I'm glad I'm here to tell this story.
I'm glad you're here too.
Sometimes spiritualness comes in tears. My wife had attended the association meeting on Thursday night. On Friday evening, Saturday night. And I had taken her to church with me. She was a Catholic. And she went to church with me. I went to church with her once in a while. She came with me more than I went with her, but that's okay. So I had told her about how we believe about baptism. You know, that's something that is with you and the Lord.
Amen.
If you need to be baptized, that's not from me. That's not from the preachers. That's not from your husband or wife or your brother or sister. In order for it to be effective, it has to be from God. It has to be through the Spirit of God. We don't, you know, I mentioned baptism, but, you know, I know it's just a waste of time because it's not a spiritual thing. You understand what I'm saying? So my wife is a private person. And she thought about joining on Friday night. Nah. And she thought about joining on Saturday night. You know, we were having big trouble. You ever heard of an association, old Baptist people having trouble? Can you believe that? Well, we were having some trouble. You know, and it's usually a preacher's, right?
Absolutely.
You know, one of them wants one thing and one of them wants another. And then so we had kind of got the trouble in hand. But, you know, it was still trouble. Sunday morning, the last preacher was Brother Bill. He preached on the timing of God. I was having a little bit of a hard time following, but I thought it was a good idea. And this is, by the way, we're not to be respecters of persons, right? I don't respect him because I thought he had such wonderful thoughts about being able to do that at the right time and the right time. I respect the Lord because he put it in his head to talk about it. The Spirit of God was with him. I respect him in a sense that he was one of those that the Spirit would use. So Brother Phil Jones was closing up the association. It happened to be the biggest crowd on a Sunday that we've ever had. We had chairs in the aisles and opened the vestibule doors and people in the vestibule. Now my wife, if she knew she was going to join the church, would at least put on waterproof mascara. Right? So Brother Bill finished, and there had been talk about baptism all the way. And Brother Don Martin talked about his kid. He was sitting on the back row with some other kids. And his dad came back and got him. He left the other kids there. And Brother Don, you may have heard, he says, you know, they ask him, why didn't you get those other kids that were cutting up? He says, those weren't mine. Lord knows his, doesn't he?
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes he guides us through the Spirit. So Brother Phil's going on all this stuff and talking and not, you know, I mean, he's got to close up all the business and yada, yada, yada. And my wife stands up. We're sitting on the second row, about over the third row right there. And she says, it's me. What do you mean it's me? Brother, you know, you can't join the church until somebody calls for the, you know, the doors open, right? I mean, that's Baptist tradition. You can't do that. She didn't know anything about Trinity Baptist tradition. She still doesn't know much. Every time I take her somewhere, the wives go, oh my goodness. This is, you know, anyway, she's fine. Let me get it that way. So it's me, it's me, it's me. And I know what's about to happen. And I can't hold back the tears. I'm crying like a baby. And Brother Phil thinks we're having a fight over there in the pews. So finally it dawns on him. I think the Lord said, Phil. Anyway, she came up. And you know, she told me, she says, the Lord was saying, you need to join the church right now, right now, right now. Now's the time. If you don't, you know, I'm going to punish you. That's what she felt in her head. She came up and joined the church. And I'm going to tell you, for 30 minutes, we shook hands and sang and went through that. It was the most spiritual time. I was very close to it, obviously. The most spiritual time I've ever had in a meeting. Everybody in the church was crying. Tears were running down their eyes. One lady that was not handicapped didn't get it, but the rest of everyone did. You know, don't you want to see the tears in the church again? Don't you want to feel so spiritual? Don't you want to say, I love the Lord so much. I enjoy being here so much. That message was so good. Give me a tear, huh? I mean, do we see the tears today like we used to see them? I want to see more excitement of God, more excitement of being in church, more excitement through the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to feel it? If you're going to come here, we might as well have a good time, don't you think?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So that's one form of the Spirit, right? He guides us. He also chastises us. It's interesting that we're still punished. We're still punished. We're always punished, okay, for our sins, aren't we? But not near what we should be. And if we're punished, that's good news, right? Because that means we're one of His. That means we're a child of God. So sometimes the Spirit punishes. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, teach us. He says, now, no man needs to teach another, right? We're at that point, right? He wrote it on our hearts, put it in our minds. Now we don't need to teach each other about the Spirit because it's within us. So, here's a question I've been asked lately. Can we call down the Spirit of God? Huh? Well, let's think about it. We can ask Him. And I just read you that scripture, didn't I? If you ask, He's going to give it to you, right? Now, you suppose if I was, you know, this morning, if I was out there in some bar or something, saying, oh, just come on down, Spirit, come on down. You suppose the Spirit would do much for me? I don't think it would have that feeling that I have right now. I think there would be a chastisement maybe, but I don't think we'd have that feeling of the Spirit of God. So, I'm just about to finish. Get ready. I can beg you all to pray for the Spirit, right? I think you did a good job. Don't you feel it? I can't, but the Spirit is. You know, Christ came preaching repentance in the kingdom of God. But who came before that? John came preaching repentance in the Spirit of God. Don't we have, is there any doubt in your mind the fact that we have, you know, the fact that Christ has done everything for us for our eternal salvation? There's nothing left. It's done. I mean, we ought to be comforted with that. Comfort ye. It's done. It's finished. It was finished on the cross. We are His children. There's nothing going to change that. I mean, that ought to be so powerful in us that we will act perfect all our lives because He did that for us. He is, you know, how can we act bad? Right? Well, I'm going to tell you, as a minister, I've been learning, you know, I acted bad. And then I learned how I think bad, you know, and as you go on and you get more experience in God, you find out that you think bad, you know, you can't get away from sin. It's just always with you. Now in the 17th chapter of Exodus, last verse, I won't turn there because I'm trying to hurry up. It says that God will continue to fight Amalek generation to generation. Who is Amalek? He was of the Amalekites. They worship. He was also Esau's grandson's wife from a concubine. Well, that didn't work out, did it? Yeah. Well, his grandson had Amalek through a concubine. Does that make sense? What was Esau? Earthly, right? Edom. Amalek represents evil, earth, flesh. I have some good news for you today. He says God will continually war from generation to generation with Amalek. This is the finish of this, so y'all pay attention. No, just kidding. I'm about to quit. I cannot do anything of my own. And we will find if we read in Corinthians that God does everything for us, so who do we think we are, right? That's a pretty bad misquote, but you got the point. He says over and over again, God will do our battles. He says in the 14th chapter of John, for God doeth the work. Christ depended on his Father, for God doeth the work. He says he is going to war with Amalek. If we want to be spiritual, we can't do that on our own, because the flesh is always in the way. And I'm going to tell you, we have no power over the flesh. It says in Romans, first chapter of Romans, that the flesh will just do whatever. It will never do anything toward God, right? Never do anything good. If you have an excuse for not being spiritual, I'm just about to blow that out of the water.
Amen.
Because God doeth the work. He fighteth the war with the flesh from generation to generation. So if we want to be spiritual, if we want to find these spiritual times, we have to be in prayer. Morning, Paul prayed without ceasing. If you're not getting up in the morning praying, if you're not going to bed praying, if you're not praying during the day, different times for different things, you're not going to find that spiritualness, because God doeth the work. We need to talk to him about it all the time. He keeps me from doing things that I can't imagine. You know what I mean?
Thank you.